Duane, and thank all of you for making the effort to be here again tonight as we've come together for the purpose of worshiping God. And it's been a very good afternoon. I know a lot of people have been talking about the heat, and it has been hot, but nothing like it was last year. Nothing comparable to all those dry days that we faced last summer. I said something to Jim Reichert earlier, and he said, yeah. He said, the grass is growing, and that's great. It really, really is. Of course, that means you need to mow it more often. But anyway, for farmers, no doubt, that is certainly a great blessing. And as Duane was leading that song, count your many blessings. And there are so many. So many great blessings, even in the face of adversity. You know, we're oftentimes engulfed in darkness in this world. You know, we often talk about the dark things of life. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, there was at one time in your life, you were walking in darkness and you were alienated from God. But now that you've become a Christian, you walk in light. He said, ye are light. That's the terminology that the King James Version uses. He says, ye are light. And then a little bit later over in that particular chapter, the Bible says that we're not to have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. When you read the Bible, you'll see a striking comparison between light and between darkness. And really, light reflecting that which is good, darkness reflecting that which is bad. And no one should want to walk in darkness. We all want to please God. I remember walking into a restaurant one time over in Tyler, Texas, and when I walked in, the lights were real dim. You can kind of get the picture probably if you've experienced the same thing. And when I walked in and I sat down, and believe it or not, I had my reading glasses on where I could really see the menu, but it was so dark that I couldn't see the menu. And I just had to wait for a little bit for my eyes to acclimate to that situation before I could read the menu. And I got to thinking about that. Isn't that the way life really is? We often become accustomed to darkness. We do. We become accustomed to the sin of the world, to the darkness of the world. And perhaps that is our big problem in today's world. And so tonight, I want you to think with me, getting used to the dark. We do. You know, little children have great difficulty sometimes, don't they? When they go to bed at night, they want their mother or their father to go to bed with them, to lay down with them in the darkness of that moment. I heard a story one time about a little boy, you know, who was finding it very difficult to go to sleep. And his father was in the other room, and the little boy kept calling out to him. He said, Daddy, can I have a drink of water? Well, anyway, the father said, Son, go to sleep. Everything's all right. Go to sleep. And after a few minutes, the little boy again, who was unable to sleep because of the darkness and somewhat afraid to disclose that, camouflaged it by asking for water. And so anyway, he cried out again. He said, Daddy, can I have a drink of water? And the father, getting somewhat exasperated, said, Son, said, go to sleep. Everything's all right. Close your eyes and go to sleep. Well, after a few minutes, the little boy cried out again, Daddy, would you please bring me a glass of water? And he said, Son, he said, if you cry out to me one more time that you want a glass of water, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to spank you. And about that time, the little boy cried out to the father again and said, Daddy, would you please bring me a drink of water when you come in here to spank me? Now, you know, we all have great difficulty sometimes with darkness. A lot of things happen under the cover of darkness. There was a little boy one time who was afraid of the dark, and one night his mother told him to go out on the back porch and get the broom and bring it into her. And the little boy turned to his mother and said, Mama, I don't want to go out there because it's dark. And the mother smiled reassuringly at her son and said, You don't have to be afraid of the dark. Jesus is out there. He'll look after you and protect you. Little boy looked at his mother real hard and asked, "Are you sure he's out there?" And the mother said, "Yes, I'm sure he's out there, because Jesus is everywhere. And he is always ready to help you when you need him," she said. Little boy thought about it for a few moments. And then he went to the back door and he cracked it a little. And peering out into the darkness, he called out, "Jesus, if you're out there, would you hand me the broom?" There are so many things that enable us to get used to the darkness. What happens when we walk in darkness? Jesus said in John 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And you will remember the words of John in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, who said that if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us, or washes away, all of our sin. If we walk in the light, that is the condition. God has always made our forgiveness and his blessings conditional upon our walking in the light. When we get used to the darkness, number one, our sight has dimmed. Our eyes have to adjust, spiritually speaking, to the darkness of this world. And people whose spiritual eyes have dimmed no longer see the church as a place where they come together and worship God. Let me tell you why I believe that to be true. Why this building would be filled tonight with people if they really believe that this was the place where God intended for them to be and where God wanted them to be, if they really believe that. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is not to keep everybody entertained. It is not a place where fans of the faith gather together. But it is a place of worship. And when our eyesight has dimmed, it has happened because we have traded peace for popularity. And we have traded the power of God for our possessions that we have within our grasp. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 105, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." The word of God has always given light. David said, light is that which enters into your word. It giveth entrance into the kingdom of God. And in John the 3rd chapter and verse 19, Jesus said, and listen to this. He said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." It's almost beyond us to believe that there are people in this world who'd rather be engulfed in sin and all the heartache that is often accompanied with it than to walk in the light and to do the right thing. Why is it that men love darkness rather than light? I think people love darkness rather than light because they're focused on the wrong thing and they have gotten accustomed to the darkness of the world. Let me tell you a little bit how that plays out. A number of years ago, there were certain things that we call sin, but today people no longer call them sin anymore. It's amazing how we have changed, isn't it? A lot of people say today that it really isn't necessary for people to come together and worship God, and we say, well, that's okay. We'll accept that. We have people today in the body of Christ that are teaching that it really is not necessary for one to obey the gospel in the true sense. That is to acknowledge their faith in Christ upon a penitent heart and be baptized for the remission of sin. That we and God will accept you in any way, in any form, in any fashion. It doesn't make any difference whether you are immersed at all. Certain things that we used to consider sinful have become very stylish in today's world. We have folks in today's world that believe that sexual immorality is acceptable before God. There's no problem with it. We have people heralding the message that the gay lifestyle is just simply an alternate lifestyle. It is an alternate relationship in which two people can gather together and engage in that relationship, and it be acceptable in the sight of God. I've had people even more recently ask me the question, are you folks at the Crockett Road Church homophobic? I said, no, we're not homophobic. But we do believe that homosexuality is wrong and that it is condemned of God in the book of Romans chapter 1, and that according to the word of God in the book of Leviticus, it is a sin for a man to lie with man as he would with womankind and vice versa. And the only passage in all the Bible that speaks of God ever giving anyone up for anything has to do with that very sin. But that message is coming out of the White House in Washington. You believe that? Same-sex marriage. And for those who would not even sanction same-sex marriage, have sanctioned civil unions. We'll just call it by a different name. And then it will be acceptable in the eyes of God. You see, what happens is that we have become accustomed to the darkness of the world. It's amazing how loose we live and how we have changed, isn't it? But you know what? The Word of God has not changed, hasn't. God says, I change not. Impossible for God to lie, the Hebrew writer said. And so what we find contained in this book is still just as true tonight as it was when it was written. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice that, instruction in righteousness. You can't be righteous without the Word of God. You can't. You walk in darkness. And you lie, as John says, and you do not the truth. Men love darkness, he says here in John 3 and verse 19, because their deeds are evil. And people began, not only do they accept it, but they begin to justify and condemn you for walking in light. In Proverbs 4 and verse 19, King Solomon said, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not, notice this, they know not at what they stumble. You see, the shades of worldliness have been drawn, and many now sit in darkness. It is true. Our eyesight spiritually has been dimmed. But then secondly, our spirit has declined. Everybody knows when we are in the middle of some kind of economic meltdown or some kind of economic decline. Some would say that we are in a social decline, no morals. But not many see that we are in a spiritual decline. Let me ask you a question tonight. How strong are you spiritually? Are you spiritually vibrant and strong? Are you as strong as you once were? Would you say tonight that you are weaker or that you are stronger than you were spiritually speaking a year ago? Would you? Where are you on the spiritual monitor? In spiritual decline, sin appears to be less sinful. Dirt appears to be less dirty. And God appears less needed. As a matter of fact, the only time a lot of people ever call on God, as I mentioned this morning in our Bible class, is when there is a death in the family or someone becomes extremely ill with a terminal illness. That's when we reach out to God. At any other time, most people do not feel they need God. But in Romans 8 and verse 14, Paul again says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Who are the Christians? They're the ones who are being led by the Spirit of God. Do you ever feel led by the Spirit of God? You better. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Galatians 5 and 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh, that you may fulfill the lust thereof." Do you remember when Lot went down to Sodom? As a matter of fact, Abraham gave his nephew the opportunity to make the choice of where he wanted to live. He made an unwise choice. And it started his spiritual decline. And by his actions, you see the effects upon his whole family. And God finally gets enough, and he brings down fire from heaven upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angels had to literally drag Lot out of the horrible ruins of that city. And the Bible says that his wife looked back upon the ruins of those cities, and God turned her into a monument of salt. I thought many, many times, didn't Lot have a story to tell? Our spirit has declined, our eyesight is dimmed when we walk in darkness. But thirdly, our strength is diminished. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Paul says, finally, he says, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We are weak because we do not rely upon Jesus for strength. John the Baptist said in John the 3rd chapter in verse 30, he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." You know what? That's true of all of us, isn't it? If we want to walk in the light, we have to decrease and allow him to increase in our lives. We don't read the Bibles like we ought to, like we used to. How many of you read the Bible? Well, you don't have to have a show of your hands here. How many of you read the Bible this last week? Don't raise your hand. We're not trying to embarrass anyone. How many of you read your Bible this last week? We don't praise God like we used to. We don't. And sometimes the only time that some people praise God is when they walk around and something good has happened, they say, "Praise God." That's not praising God. That's a modern-day cliche that people often use to illustrate their enthusiasm and their zeal about something. We don't pray like we used to. When was the last time you went before God and prayed? Sincerely, honestly. Now, I'm just asking some thought questions tonight, folks, but I'm going to tell you, it's a pretty good indicator as to whether you're walking in darkness or whether you're walking in light. That's why we don't have saints of God today that are full of God like they used to be. And so our spiritual strength is weakened. But last of all, when we walk in darkness, our steps are defiled. Sometimes when we try to do the will of the Lord, we stumble around. Sometimes people do it because they feel obligated to do it, not because they want to do it. There ought to be that desire within us to do the will of God without having to be pushed and coerced and pulled and arms twisted. But it's almost reached the point in the church today that the latter has to take place. That we have to pull and we have to twist and we have to prod and to get people to do anything in the Lord's church anymore. We walk in darkness instead of the glorious light of God. 1 John 1 and verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. You can say you're a Christian all day long, but that doesn't mean you're a Christian. You can say you walk in light. That doesn't mean you walk in light. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Sometimes people never get it. Someone said one time, he said, when your life is in darkness, pray to God and ask him to free you from darkness. And even after you pray, if you're still in darkness, please pay your electricity bill. But the darkness I'm talking about tonight is not relative to the lights that are shining in here or the air conditioner that cools this building, but it's the Spirit of God that dwells within us when we walk in light. We have to adjust our eyes to see the need of salvation. We have to adjust our spiritual eyesight that we may see. You know, sometimes, as I said, some people never ever get it. They don't. Jesus said one time of the Pharisees, he says, seeing, they see not. They saw, but they didn't see. Their eyesight had been clouded by the darkness of their traditions instead of the light of Jesus. I hope that God will help us to open our eyes. David said that in the Old Testament, open mine eyes that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. Are you walking in darkness or are you walking in light? Where do you walk? Stop and think about that. This week, where will you walk? Will you walk embracing darkness? Or will you walk embracing light? That's something for all of us to consider and to think about very seriously. How much stronger are you as a Christian right now than you were last year? Dwayne's going to lead us in an invitation song tonight. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then obviously you walk in darkness. You're not walking in the light of God's love. God wants you to walk in his light, to follow him. And if you're a Christian and you've turned your back upon God and you're back walking in the darkness, and you just stop and think about it, folks. He said, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. If you're walking in darkness tonight, chances are that you really love where you are more than you love walking in the light. Sometimes it's good for us to take an evaluation of our life and ask ourselves the question, what really is more important to me, darkness or light? I hope you'll do that while we stand and while we sing.